I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
The next portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by...
We're a part of your community. We're your employer, your protector, your all-around good neighbor Sam. We are America's prison industrial complex. And all we're asking for is your kids. See, we're one of America's fastest-growing industries, and we help make this country unique. America has nearly 25% of all the world's prisoners. Boy, you'd think that'd be enough. But we need more. We need to lock up all your little boys and girls. So, as soon as you hear about something new or unusual, such as, I guess, downloading things. What the heck is that anyway? Well, if you don't understand it, pass a law against it, and make sure you have tough sentences. That's how young people learn. Do that, and you won't have to be scared anymore. Help us out, because we're putting up more prisons every day. And just like the rest of us, prisons get lonely without children.
Every week during HBO's Game of Thrones, the Final Edition Radio Hour's celebrity panel analyzes the latest episode. Fox News Channel's Sean Hannity is its moderator.
Another great GFT panel. Best scene? Lord Tywin Lannister laying down the law to his kids, Tyrion and Cersei. He tells them both who they're gonna marry. They balk. He says, "Shut the hell up. I'm the boss. You do what I tell you." You gotta admire that strong leadership and parental authority. Right, New York Times columnist Paul Krugman?
Wrong. He's a loathsome tyrant, and I predict Tyrion will put a crossbow bolt in his belly.
Whoa! Spoiler! Spoiler! Someone edit that out!
Still, Lord Tywin's funding of a big, lavish royal wedding as a stimulus to the Westeros economy is long overdue. Austerity won't solve the recession that's strangling his realm's economy with unemployment at 26% and first quarter oxcart manufacturing in the tank.
You're completely wrong, Krugman, as usual. Let me ask actress Shirley MacLaine, whom we saw this season as Mrs. Levinson in Downton Abbey, where she was nowhere near as entertaining as Maggie Smith. How do you like the episode?
You're nowhere near as entertaining as Alan Colmes, Sean, and he's a terminal snooze. So was this episode. Where was the most fascinating character on the show, Melisandre, Red Priestess of R'hllor? I miss her destroying her enemies by giving birth to shadow assassins. I remember the total joy of giving birth to shadow assassins when I was Melisandre in a previous life.
That's not possible, surely. She's a fictional character.
Don't call me Shirley. Game of Thrones actually happened eons ago in actual history. I know it in my bones.
Well, your bones are wrong.
Game of Bones.
Turning now.
Game of Crones.
To brutal Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad. What's your take on the episode?
Sean, I strenuously disagree with your positive view of Lord Tywin's behavior. Has he forgotten there's a civil war on? The Lannisters are in an all-out struggle to keep control of the Iron Throne, and he's blathering about weddings? Irresponsible. Tywin must crack down on his family's enemies. Slaughter anyone who expresses the slightest sympathy for them, then silence the populace by torturing thousands of innocent men, women, and children. Especially children. Torturing children shuts people up like that.
Good point, Bashar. Shifting our focus, I want to ask our last panelist, world-famous theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking, about that terrific sword fight between the Hound and Beric Dondarrion. I was puzzled how they brought Beric back from the dead after the Hound killed him. Can you shed some light on that, Steve?
No, I can't. I know nothing about magic. I am a scientist.
No need to get snippy about it.
I, too, was puzzled, because I couldn't remember who the devil Beric Dondarrion is. I am a genius of legendary importance, but there are so many bloody characters I lose bloody track.
Beric is the man who in Season 1 saved the life of the Blackfish, Sir Brynden Tully, the younger brother of Hoster Tully, the Lord of Riverrun. Beric is also uncle to Catelyn Stark, Edmure Tully, and Lysa Arryn, who presides over the Eyrie.
Nonsense, you overweening tyrant. You're confusing him with Davos Seaworth, commonly called the Onion Knight, who was imprisoned and tortured by Lord Bolton before being rescued by Brienne of Tarth, only to fall into the hands of Mance Rayder, the king beyond the wall, and his so-called free folk. But how free are they, really, when they're being ruthlessly exploited by primitive tribal feudalism, which is pretty much what you've reduced your country to?
Manners, Krugman. 21st century America could use a little feudalism.
That's insanity, Hannity.
You're all wrong. Beric is the true father of Theon Greyjoy and the lover of Lady Olenna, better known as the Queen of Thorns. He was the chief legal advisor to Robert Baratheon before being raped by Gregor Clegane on the orders of the Kingslayer, which destroyed his memory.
Utter poppycock. Why would Clegane rape Beric?
Don't you poppycock me. I was there when it happened. He squealed like a pig.
Sorry, sorry! My kingdom for some sorry!
I can't believe McClane likes the lamest king.
Ooh, I'm having another shadow assassin.
Ah! You're bleeding on my bow tie!
Please do not touch my wheelchair. I will run you over.
Ah! This is just like when I was Joan of Arc. Ooh.
Our Game of Thrones panel will return after next week's episode, almost certainly with new panelists.
Pulitzer Prizes don't feel so good when they're smashing you on the head, do they?
You Zionist entity!
Hi, how is everyone today? Everyone have their yoga mats? Everyone ready for a good workout?
Yeah, okay. Sure. Good.
Great, okay. Start in the downward facing dog position, then lift your left leg straight back. Good. Now bend your leg to the right. You should feel a searing pain along your spine. That's good. Now, shift your pancreas 3 centimeters to the left. Just picture your pancreas and move it 3 centimeters. You're doing really good. Now lift your right arm, pointed forward, and kick up your right leg.
Oh my God.
Good. You should now be holding up your entire body with your left hand. Now raise that left hand. Excellent. You should feel either a crack in your head or a weird displacement in your shoulder. You're doing really good. Now, whatever is hurting you the most, push it real hard into the mat. That's it. Good. Now, pick a partner. Find someone next to you. Don't be shy. Now, one of you is going to grab the other by the head and give a real good twist. That's excellent. Now, find a new partner, someone who's still alive. Now, figure out which one of you is going to twist the head. That's it. Keep finding new partners. That's it. Good. Now there's only two of you left. One of you left. Whoever that is, pour this lighter fluid over everybody in the room. Real quick, don't be stingy, and pour it over yourself. Now light this match. You should be feeling a burn. That's normal. Now relax. Remember to breathe.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom.
Hello, I'm Richard Branson. That's Sir Richard Branson to you. the annoying British billionaire. Ideas don't just come out of my beard, although they do end up there. Virgin Records, Virgin Megastore, Virgin Cola are all in the dustbin of history. Now you have a chance to be part of my next project, Virgin Massive Failure. We have a spaceship that will allow you to go safely into orbit with only a 93% chance that you will be hurled back to Earth in a fiery death ball whose temperature is too hot for modern instruments to measure. For the first flight, a ticket is only $250,000. This includes free 7-Up, an in-flight movie starring Jennifer Lopez, and a chance to look out the window when you burn up upon re-entry. True, you could get the same effect by smoking a joint and watching the new Tom Cruise movie, but then I wouldn't get your $250,000, would I? And without it, well, I shudder to think what might fly out of my beard. Virgin Massive Failure. It's one small check for me, one giant rim job for you.
Hello, I'm David Dye, and welcome once again to the World Cafe, the NPR show where I excitedly present bands you've never heard of and you pretend to be hip enough to get excited about them. This week, I actually have something that isn't rare bootlegs of Yo La Tengo concerts in the Berkshires. While looking for obscure PJ Harvey interviews, I discovered the lost recording of the fight that broke up Simon and Garfunkel. The violent breakup started right away with abusive language and deadly threats.
Paul? Yes, Artie? I think I should be singing lead on a few more songs.
That's ridiculous, Artie. I sing lead. Everyone knows that.
But I think people want to see me sing lead.
Whoa. I hadn't heard language like that since Peter Paul and Mary Cage matched over who sang lead on Puff the Magic Dragon. Incidentally, are you surprised Peter won? Anyway, back to the action.
Artie, when people see me, they think of ancient Greek gods. When they see you, they think of the kid they used to beat up and take their lunch money from. And they were the kid who got beat up and had their lunch money taken. I'm Mickey Mantle. You're Larry Fine's less talented twin.
That's it. That's it. I'm singing lead on the 59th Street Bridge song.
Artie, slow down. You're moving too fast. You couldn't find the Verrazano Bridge. Never mind the 59th Street Bridge. Hey, don't push me.
And here's where everything turned into a bloodbath.
You know what, Paul? You're not a bridge over troubled water. You're just troubled water.
And you, Artie, are no boxer.
You didn't even know Cecilia.
Yeah, well, you've never been to Scarborough Fair, but meet my friends, Rosemary and Thyme.
I'm going to send you Homeward Bound.
At this point, Art Garfunkel hit a nerve so deep, it was unforgivable.
Paul Simon, you are not the only living boy in New York.
How dare you? How dare you? I'm letting the world know that you are Mrs. Robinson. You know what, Artie? We no longer have a groovy thing going. Prepare for the sounds of silence.
And right at this point, an unexpected visitor broke up the chaos.
Hey, fellas. It's me, James Taylor. Break it up.
Oh, hey, James.
Sorry, we're just having a slight disagreement.
That's groovy. Really groovy. But listen, sweet baby James is gonna fuck you to a big time if you don't shut the fuck up and stop being so motherfucking loud. I'm trying to record a gentle song about how my friends killed the love of my life.
Sorry about that, James.
Now shut your fucking mouth before I rip you two new assholes.
And with that, Simon and Garfunkel were broken up. Join us next week when we hear a heated exchange while Black Sabbath recorded their album, Paranoid.
You know, Ozzy, I'm just saying, love. I respectfully disagree.
I hear you, love. I'm just politely saying that I think War Pigs isn't long enough. It's got to be longer.
All right, mate, no problem. If you want War Pigs to be 87 hours long, we'll do it.
Thank you, mate. Now may I have a little mustard for this bathead?
Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction.
And now, another in a series of dire warnings from the President of North Korea.
Hello!
This is Kim Jong-un. People are saying, what does Kim Jong-un want? Like I am character in Robert McKee's screenwriting seminar where you pay $700 and get free Final Draft software. Well, first thing I want is for Dennis Rodman to come back. You see, I very, very fat. But when I stand next to the worm, it's like Little Sprout standing next to Jolly Green Giant. Ho, ho, ho. Ah, ha, ha. So, what do I want? I want you to want me. Just like Cheap Trick. Ah, ha, ha. When I woke up, Mom and Dad were rolling on the couch, rolling numbers, rock and roll, and got my nuke warheads out. Ah, ha, ha. Ain't that a shame? And don't try to take dream police action. Ah, ha, ha. This is Kim Jong-un saying surrender, surrender. And get me free Final Draft Software 2, version 8. Ah, ha, ha.
Dick Wolf presents Law & Order CSU, Crowdsourcing Unit.
What do you think, Lieutenant?
Looks like she was bludgeoned to death and posed artfully like a Rodin sculpture. We're looking at a real sicko here. What'd you find on her cell phone?
She called the same number 5 times in the half hour before she died.
I'd like to know who owns that number, and maybe canvass the neighborhood. But what does Instagram say?
My feed shows a suspicious white van in the neighborhood, and the photo's gone viral.
Which filter do they use on this?
X-Pro 2.
Really makes a pop.
Okay. Tell DMV to print out records for all white vans registered in the state. And it may have been repainted, so get the non-white vans, too. And it may have been from out of state.
Hang on, Lieutenant. Someone on Facebook says a guy is selling a white van on Craigslist. Also, there's a cute thing from George Takei.
Yeah, let me see. Yeah. Cats are dumb. All right, people. We have a phone number for the suspect.
Reddit posted his address.
Twitter says he's a witch.
Let's destroy his house!
Yeah! Yeah!
Hello? Are you here about the van?
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by LayPal. No stolen credit card numbers. No statements with transparently obvious circumlocutions for sex services dreamed up by brain-dead porn merchants. No lingering paranoia about blackmail. No records. No paper trail. What happens with LayPal stays with LayPal. Open your anonymous account and keep it current. When you need to get laid, just click on LayPal. Your lay will be on his or her way. LayPal, the world's most loved way to lay and get laid. Bitcoins accepted.
Hey, are you going to New York City this summer? Do you plan to see the Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, and are sure to pay your respects at Ground Zero? Well, fuck that! Why? Because the TMZ tour bus is coming to NYC!
Holy shit, the TMZ tour bus?
That's right, asshole! Why waste your time at the symbol of American freedom when you can see exactly what sidewalk Lindsay Lohan likes to take her long drunken pisses on?
Hey, I think I can still smell it.
Don't waste your time seeing where your great-grandparents started their journey toward the American dream when you can go exactly where Katie Holmes walks with her daughter daily.
Wow, Katie Holmes? Let's go bother her.
Why pay your respects at a place where the people are already dead? They don't know you're there when the TMZ bus will take you to a discreet cafe where Anne Hathaway will know you are definitely there.
There she is, quietly enjoying lunch. Everybody yell, "Show that cooch, Anne!" She'll love it.
And then let's tell her how much we hated several of her movies. She'll love that, too!
Come ride the TMZ tour bus! Forget about culture, history, and memorials when you can see important stuff like where Kevin Spacey picked his ass coming out of a Broadway show, or exactly where Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise decided to divorce, or favorite hangouts of all your favorite celebrities, so you can bother them.
Hey, they're all my favorite and not-so-favorite celebrities. Let's go bother them.
The TMZ Tour Bus, getting ready to destroy a little bit more of society, starting in May of 2013.
Hey, Tom Hanks, Dragnet sucked. See? He loved it.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. Visit thefinaledition.com every day for more sizzling satire with teeth.
Excuse me, are you the commanding officer here?
Yes, I'm Colonel David Mustard. How can I help you?
I'm here to deliver 600 Abrams tanks.
I believe there's a mistake. We didn't order any tanks here.
No, you didn't. But the U.S. Congress says you're getting them anyway.
No, a 70-ton tank is completely unsuited to what we're doing out here.
But they'll still be helping America. You see, they're manufactured in various congressional districts, so these tanks safeguard the economic well-being of those districts and their congressmen.
Listen up. For the last 8 months, I've repeatedly requisitioned body armor. That's all we need here, so go back and get what we asked for.
Oh, I brought body armor. I've even taken the liberty of outfitting your troops.
Sir, the soldiers are ready for inspection.
That's medieval armor.
Made by the Corporation for Creative Anachronism in the 3rd Congressional District of Ohio, which is a swing state, by the way.
Will it stop a bullet?
For the sake of historical accuracy, no. But you're in good shape if the enemy attacks you with a broadsword. Now, where do you want us to put the aircraft carrier?
Aircraft carrier? We're an infantry unit!
And that's exactly why the enemy will never see it coming.
Of course they won't, because it's completely useless. We're landlocked. How the hell are you even getting it out here?
We're dragging it here with those tanks you don't want. You know, this represents a revitalization of the Camden shipyards. Isn't that something? Now, just sign here for the tanks, the medieval armor, the aircraft carrier, and 6,000 models of the solar system made out of pipe cleaners and packing peanuts.
Models? Who manufactures that?
My kids. Back up the truck!
Now our in-flight crew have an important message. Please pay attention, even if you are a frequent flyer, to these important safety features.
Here at any given airline, we are always concerned about your comfort and safety. Okay, all together now. Let us pray.
Our Father, who art in the unlikely event of a water landing, hallowed be thy name, is Sue, and in the rear cabin, Carmen. Thy kingdom come furtively around your waist. Thy will be taking time to familiarize yourself with the exits on earth, as it is two forward exits in heaven. Give us this day our seatbelts on tightly at all times, and forgive us our loss of cabin pressure as we forgive those who must fit under the seats in front of them. And lead us not into turbulence, but enjoy your flight. Amen.
It's time for the Final Edition's finance vertical, Money or Die. In the last few months, Apple's stock has declined by almost 40%. Apple, once the world's richest corporation, has lost $260 billion in value. But is an uptick in its future? Our very own Money Honey Bunny Bucks has the story.
Analysts believe Apple's disastrous decline is due to that inevitable thing called product fatigue. The sleek brain children of the very deceased Steve Jobs and their offspring have kept the company going for a couple of years. But the company that built its brand on innovation desperately needs to innovate, something that takes the next step in personal computing. Google has already led the way with its new Project Glass, which focuses exclusively on the human organ, which underpins all marketing, the eyeball. Now, Apple believes it's taken a giant step beyond that. Apple CEO Tim Cook.
Project Glass's focus on the eyeball is smart. I mean, the problem is what's behind the eyeball, the human mind, which constantly makes decisions about what the eyeball is seeing. You know, stupid, random decisions. Yes, Google has begun the awesome process of delinking the eyeball from the mind, but we want the eyeball to control the mind, not the opposite. So as long as the mind can remove Google's eyewear and put it in his pocket or over her hair or on the dash or on a rocky ledge overlooking the terrifying randomness of nature, Google's business model has a fatal flaw. Not at Apple. Allow me to introduce our astounding new leap forward in digital innovation. The Apple lowercase I-B-A-L-L. The eyeball.
Wow, tell us more.
I will. The Apple eyeball is a flexible, self-powering spherical cyber organ that replicates all operating elements and functions of the globular perception device we now find two of in most human skulls. But unlike the outmoded wetware we call the eye, suspended in the vitreous gel which fills the eyeball, are microprocessors that duplicate all digital functions of existing Apple technology such as the iPad and iPhone. They can rear project onto the eyeball's crystalline eye lens any feature of, say, the iPad, instead of the obsolete eye randomly perceiving the iPad in the user's external environment.
Wow, I'm already totally flipping. Is the eyeball also linked digitally to the other devices?
Sure. With our new iPort technology, every eyeball can communicate with any other eyeball or any other device Apple deems worthy.
That is so much more awesome than Google's stupid glasses.
Indeed. Secondly, the receptor function of the eye lens and eye retina is selective rather than random. So eyeballs' 1.2 million eye axons, formerly known as the optical nerve, will only transmit to the thalamus and amygdala in the brain images which have a positive effect on the user's emotions.
Yeah, I don't get that, but I totally wish I did.
Well, for example, though the eyeball may occasionally be unable to avoid perceiving negative images such as, oh, a hideous multi-fatality traffic accident or your boyfriend making out with some slut in a Maserati, the iPerceive operating system of the eye retina screens out those images before they even make it to the thalamus.
So, if I have an eyeball, I'll never get totally bummed at the utter futility of life or try to attack the rich slut or get shot by her bodyguard.
Right. What you can't see can't hurt you. If you don't see something, you don't say something.
But what if I'm one of those people who just wallow in negativity and, like, negative images? Like, say, a satirist?
Then probably an eyeball or two isn't for you. But the millions of worldwide eyeball users will never ever read your satire.
Cool. Who reads satire anyway?
No one at Apple, that's for sure. The iPerceive selective process can also be used in reverse to induce pleasurable states. For example, the eyeball can simulate hallucinogenics, but without the poor life choices and Caucasian dreadlocks we see so frequently in Northern California.
The eyeball is going to change the very nature of perception.
And just as important for Apple is the ability to control perception. The eyeball is an existential remedy rather than a medical one. It is the digital answer to life's randomness. The Apple eyeball doesn't simply replace an inefficient evolution-based hodgepodge of hit-or-miss wetware. It redefines the nature of human happiness.
Oh, my God! It's gonna be like having Steve Jobs himself right inside your head.
And as our BFF, beloved founding father, would have murmured,
Apple once again has the world! By the eyeballs!
The following portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by Sequester Airlines.
For today's air traveler who has loads of free time to sit in the airport, fly the Republican Party's very own Sequester Airlines. Sequester has built-in delays based on the very latest air traffic controller furloughs. At Sequester, not only is safety a definite possibility, a 1 o'clock flight never leaves before 3, or 4, or 5, or 6, or 7, or 10, or 12.
Last week, teen pop star Justin Bieber visited the Anne Frank Museum in Amsterdam and signed the guestbook, Anne Was a Great Girl. Hopefully, she would have been a believer. Since then, it seems everyone has weighed in on the story, from the Black Eyed Peas, Will.i.am, to Anne's own stepsister, Eva Schloss. Everyone except for Anne Frank herself. The final edition now brings you her exclusive response.
Hello, Justin Bieber. It's me, Anne Frank. I know it's weird for me to reach out to you, as I have been resting peacefully since 1945. That is until you visited my secret annex, signed the guest book, and then I rolled over in my grave. Look, you seem like a nice girl, so I wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt and listen to your album. I mean, hey, if I hadn't been locked away in a tiny attic with 7 other people, mice, and 2 cats with fleas for over 2 years without seeing the light of day while constantly fearing for my life, maybe I would have enjoyed the depths and complexities of your lyrics. I've got money in mine hands that I'd really like to blow. Swag, swag, swag on you. Chillin' by the fire while we eatin' fondue. Who knows? Had things been different for me, I may have appreciated listening to your runs, as opposed to having them. After contracting dysentery from drinking contaminated water in a concentration camp where I've watched my family die. It's just that I had so much going on, what with being locked in a closet for so long. Something tells me you can relate to this feeling. I'm just saying, had I not been so selfishly preoccupied with not walking or making a single sound for fear of being murdered, I might have really dug your beatboxing. Maybe, had things not gone the way they did, the Holocaust and all that stuff, I would have lived to see my diary published, and I would have been a famous teenager too. And instead of being ripped apart from my family and dying a slow, painful death, I would have punched a cake on the set of CSI like you did. But probably I would have just eaten it because we didn't have sugar. So yes, maybe had all these things not happened to me, I would have been a believer. But instead, I penned a beautiful and poignant account of what living through one of the most tragic events in history was like. Have fun selling your perfume. Auf Wiedersehen. If I was your boyfriend, never let you go.
The final edition is pleased to present this special message.
Hi, I'm a typical suburban dad.
And I'm his typical suburban wife.
Hey, honey, do you hear the winds of change blowing?
Sure do, honey. Why don't you tell them what's happening to the nuclear family?
Yes, dear. The average nuclear family now consists of 2 children, a pet, and a semi-automatic weapon.
Our family is better than average. We have 3 children and 2 semi-automatic weapons.
Oh, honey, you know we have 2 children now.
Oh, that's right, dear. One of them shot the other one.
We call it family fire.
It's what happens when you leave your guns out. It's our Second Amendment right.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the state, the right of the people to leave their guns out shall not be infringed.
You'll have to pry our kids' guns from their cold, dead fingers.
Which we've done.
You know, honey, losing a child is a small price to pay for keeping and bearing arms.
You said it, dear. After all, we can always get more kids.
Guess we're gonna have to start right now.
Fortunately, there's a brand new organization for parents who leave their guns out where their kids can get them.
The PTNRA.
The Parent Teacher National Rifle Association.
The PTNRA makes sure no law will ever come between your child and your gun.
Thank God. Hey, Junior, what you got there? isn't that cute, honey? Honey?
The PTNRA. Because guns don't kill, very small people whose parents have guns do.
Honey? Okay, we can fix this in post.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. Visit thefinaledition.com every day for more sizzling satire with teeth. It's like Spinal Tap with minds.
The Final Edition Radio Hour has the exclusive story of a terrifying skydiving with whales nightmare, which went viral thanks to interlocking Wi-Fi systems. Our Stone Peck has more.
Last Monday night, 7.3 million people from Bellingham, Washington to Ipecac, Mississippi, reported having an identical nightmare. So terrifying, they immediately updated their Facebook status with it. Wake Forest sophomore Dan Furno may have been the first.
I fall asleep in study hall. I dream I'm skydiving from an Airbus 380 transport plane with these real friendly whales. But at 35,000 feet, they shove me out with no chute. Then these drones shaped like Dwayne the Rock Johnson zap me over and over, and I hit the ground where I'm impaled on the cow catcher of the Coors Polar Express. Finally, I'm buried alive under the rotting remains of a 200-ton John Candy.
Thanks, Dan. Where?
So I update my Facebook status with my nightmare, like you do. Then I see a couple of my friends have updated theirs with the same dream.
Okay, Dan. Thanks so much.
I've gone off my meds. I figured it was a conspiracy to drive me mad. But then more and more and more people updated their statuses with exactly the same dream. I thought I was having another nightmare. And I was. I woke up and immediately updated my Facebook status with the whole dream, including nightmare number two. And then I noticed everyone was updating their status with that dream. But I was awake this time.
Thanks, Dan. Salem Gundy is professor of dormimorphy, or the study of sleep, at the University of Phoenix. Professor, what's your take on Dan's nightmare?
Well, not the dream itself. It's not scary. Man up, Dan, you hairy feline. No, it's where Dan had his dream, with his head resting on his dorm's Wi-Fi router. His brainwaves must have been on an ultra-high frequency, compatible with the router that picked it up as just another packet of data, then transmitted it to millions of other sleepers within range of a Wi-Fi. I mean, wow. For us sleeper peepers, this is huge.
So Dan's dream went viral. Is that good or bad? Some say more than bad. It's evil. Psychiatrist Mandy Wetwhistle is president of the newly formed Americans Against Dream Invasion.
Dan Furno is the zero dreamer in a horrific scenario. His private dream with all its hideous phallic and edible obsessions went viral, and millions of helpless American sleepers were criminally traumatized.
Come on now. What was phallic about it?
The Coors Polar Express? Are you joking? A giant penis-spewing sea... Well, you think that's snow? Then being crushed under the rotting remains of his father.
It was John Candy.
You know nothing of psychiatry. Friendly whales? A gigantic, rotting, smirking, obese father figure? Classic Oedipal memes. Listen, dreams are the final frontier of our privacy. I do not want some pervert's libido coming into my bed, into my body, while I'm asleep. It's digital rape.
Others disagree. Nigel Chin, Facebook's chief mind-delving officer.
Hey, one person's nightmare is another person's premise for a globally successful Warcraft game. LOL. But I digress. This is a vast step forward. If we can ascertain how this works, we can reverse the process. Everyone sleep for 6 to 8 hours. That's as long as chronic TV addicts like yours truly spend watching TV in a 24-hour cycle. But with no consumer resistance. I mean, if we can send messages to sleeping consumers. Awesome! I'm so sorry. Did I spray you? It's these retainers.
What, finally, does the man in the street have to say? Leo Fried.
Well, that's fried.
Okay, Leo Fried of Tuscaloosa is on a street in Tuscaloosa.
I don't want no Muslims' dreams. Don't want no homo dreams. Don't want no liberals' dreams. Just want American dreams.
And with that, sleep tight tonight, folks, with the light on.
Dream, 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 dream. Dream, dream, dream when I want you. In my arms when I want you.
Do you like bacon?
Sure, sometimes,
then
but
come on and get your big, beefy bacon burger at Burger Busters. You get bacon, cheese, more bacon, a big, beefy burger containing bacon, cheese again, and two big bacon buns. Then you'll wash it down with bacon cola and a side of fried cheese with bacon.
Do you have anything vegetarian?
Sure, we have Thai salad with papaya and lime juice and bacon. It comes with a side of bacon orange juice and a bacon blueberry smoothie and bacon ice cubes and bacon Canadian bacon.
What if I don't want bacon?
Too bad! By order of the U.S. Congress, all food must now contain bacon!
What?
That's right! They couldn't pass filibuster reform, but they passed this!
This is a nightmare!
So come on down to Burger Busters for your federally mandated diet of bacon! Eat the goddamn bacon!
This episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Jen Dodd, Rob Gordon, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by Barry Lank, John Marshall, Jen Dodd, Lou Grossberger, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. Be sure to visit thefinaledition.com as often as you visit Facebook, unless you don't have a Facebook account, in which case, go to thefinaledition.com several times a day. That was the intended message in that statement. A lot of sizzling satire there, with teeth. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra, and engineered and edited by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC, copyright 2013.